morning.
Well, good morning. It is great to be back in Kingsford with you guys. My favorite, what's that? Yeah, there you go. My favorite mascot, the Flivvers. It's memorable. It is embedded in there. Won't forget it. It's almost kind of like, I think, is it Waters Meat, the Nimrods? Trust me, it's unique. It'll always be there. But it is so great to be with you, and great to have my wife Stacy with me. When we served as your Youth Alive missionaries from 1997 to 2008 for the Wisconsin Northern Michigan District. So we made treks to this part of the state often, to our district, and that's why it's so fun to be back, because there's parts I could point out things to Stacy, like the important things, Storheims. It's a great place. Just little things of memories that, but I also think of pictures of students who have come to Christ, and that's why it just excites me to even hear that Reggie was just here, Reggie was my roommate in college at North Central, and so there's just parts, it just makes me smile, because we can see that the mission of what we had done, and even Chuck Apple before us, our district, the Wisconsin Northern Michigan District, was the first district to take the step of faith, a bold faith, to have someone full-time to focus on students and schools. And because of that faith, since then, we now have created a U.S. missions appointment, so we can appoint missionaries and have districts raise up district missionaries. So we've created a missions thought in our fellowship to reach our high school, middle school, and junior highs across the U.S. And since we've left Wisconsin, that is our role, is how can we raise up more? What Dan and Marlena Herod are doing is phenomenal. What can we do to see that happen more, and so that we can reach every student in every school? So our heart is, how can we help come alongside the student that's in that church, that goes from our AG churches to that school every single day? What can we do to help them be on mission to share the gospel? What can we do to help the youth pastor and the pastors to take their entire church to be engaged with the school leadership in an ongoing way? Because the most convenient and strategic mission field, if we're not only going to reach every student, if we're going to reach our community, the most strategic entity is our public schools. When you put our public and private schools together, think of it this way. Every given school day, at least 20, and especially in communities this size, 25% of your entire population, 25%, when you just factor in students and teachers and staff, 25% of your community's population is at your schools every single day. Doesn't it make sense that we should reach that? And how can we do that? How can we connect in an ongoing way? And that is our mission, is how can we create resources to do that? And so that's why it's so fun to be back with you and to say thank you. You guys have been, as a church, we are a missionary to do what we do. You have been with us from day one. So we are now going back 22 years of walking with us, and we're so grateful as a church that we're one of your missionaries. And that's why we just say thank you today. A lot has changed and moving onward, and we're just so grateful. In fact, our boys have changed. There was some even in first service that could remember coming to Spencer Lake Camp. Our kids were little blonde-haired kids terrorizing the campgrounds. They are not little anymore. In fact, if you can go to the next slide, our two boys have now, we're in the empty nest years. Grant, which is on your left, Grant just literally just came out in the last year from working with in the U.S. Army. He was stationed in Washington, D.C. He was part of a unit in the Army called the Old Guard. So if you're familiar with Arlington Cemetery, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that was part of his unit. And so part of his, he never got to do the tomb. He chose to do some other things, so he was doing some high-profile ceremonies, different things around D.C. and in Arlington Cemetery. He's now in the process. He loved the area so much, that's where he's looking to stay. And so he's making application to be part of the Alexandria, Virginia police department. So pray for him as he's doing all that processes and taking next steps in life. Garrett, my youngest, which would be on your right. I have to always, because it's backwards. As you look at it on this side, Garrett is in his senior year at Southwestern Assemblies of God University, which is in Waxahachie, Texas, and playing football there. So this will be his last fall coming up, his senior year in college. And he's in an accelerated master's. So even though he graduates in December, he's already taking master's degree programs, so in another year and a half, we'll have another celebration with him getting his master's. But his goal is to be a lead pastor, and part of his program, he's part of a church called the Oaks Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and where he interns. And so he was texting us last night going, I'm 2 feet from Dr. John Maxwell, and I'm just like, he's such a dog. Being able to rub shoulders with some incredible leaders. And so we're proud of our two boys as they're chasing God's direction in their life. And so that's where it's funny for people that would have remembered our kids. They were, as they grew up on Spencer Lake, whether it was carpet ball, usually it was carpet ball, they would just drive all the high school students nuts because they would just take them to town. And I would just laugh because they had nothing better to do. But they found great joy in creating a lot of pain and frustration for high school students at Spencer Lake, going, come on, you think you can beat me? So thank you for investing in us, because part of your investment in us has helped us to even launch out our boys. And we're launching out in some new things nationally. In the last year, we've been able to continue to raise up new leadership. We just raised up a brand new missionary in Arizona and sent him out, and we're in the process. In this next year, we will launch out a new missionary in the Potomac District as well as in Tennessee. And that's where we had our second missionary go into Penn, Florida in this last year. So thank you for helping us take the culture that Dan and Marlena are stewarding in Wisconsin, and we've seen God raise up, that we could see this take place across our country. And so you're helping us set the pace of seeing every student in every school come to know Jesus. So people wonder what would keep me awake at night. It's that dream. That dream that every single student, Kingsford, Iron Mountain, every student to some of the farthest parts of our country can hear the gospel. And it's just not sending our students out to share, but it's also sending the church to be engaged in their community strategically, intentionally, missionally, to reach our local schools. So we have a couple amazing things that are going to be happening in this next year. If we can go to the next slide. This next year we're launching, it's a little hard to see all the graphics on this, but we're launching a new way for students to share their faith. Dan Harrod's been part of my team. We had a team of missionaries. This has been one of the drives that drove me into our national role, to leave Wisconsin, to leave lakes that are beautiful blue, like Pastor Dave's shirt. It's just clear. To lakes of Missouri that are about as clean as the oak on the bathroom doors. It's ugly looking brown. To sacrifice to do it. Was items like this, is how could we actually create resources for students to share the hope that's inside, that we could help bring more focus and attention. So one of the ways we're doing it is using simple 5 images to help students to express what the gospel message is, and to do it memorably and simply, that they could remember that God is a loving God that has a plan for their life. He loves them. He cares for them. And yet sin separates us. There's nothing we can do to get rid of the sin condition, the sin problem that we have. Sin, it has separated us, it's divided us from God. Our best efforts on our very best day are not going to overcome them. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, by dying and raising and being risen from the dead, we celebrated it last week, come on, that resurrection, he's not just dead, he's alive. Because of the resurrection, here's the amazing point. We have a choice to make, because Christ, we can find that resurrection power, that new life in him, if we make a choice to invite Christ in to be our Lord and Savior. But when we do, what's so amazing about the gospel message, it's just not that our sins are gone and relationship is restored. It's much better than that. God sends His Holy Spirit to empower and indwell in us so that we can live this new life with power. And so that's where we can really make sure that the gospel message in its fullest is expressed. So pray for us as we launch this next year, that we can have a simple way of students being able to profess the hope that they have. It's really amazing. God's also opening up other opportunities and doors for us. We can go to the next picture. Picture of Stacy and I. We were in Washington, D.C. 6 months ago. This one, I had two meetings inside of 2 weeks. So directly 6 months ago, I had an opportunity to go to a faith briefing at the White House, as the White House was in really looking to connect with 100 different faith leaders, and they're growing this to discover how they can develop policies and laws that don't infringe on religious liberties, and valuing the input of religious leaders, faith leaders. And it was, I loved the amazing detail that was expressed to seek input, but then also to two-way communication to express opportunities when maybe religious liberties are being taken advantage of. So it was an amazing way of connecting so that we can both provide good policies in government going forward, but then also find where there's misuse that could infringe religious liberties and correct it. So it was just an amazing meeting for a couple days. Then 2 weeks later, Stacy and I got to go back to the Department of Education and be at the very first Faith Leader Summit that brought key faith leaders from across the country to really focus on how the Department of Education, without infringing on any separation of church and state, but how could we partner together so that we could see better students. And it was a great couple days, and that's an ongoing conversation. So it started the conversation of how can we work as a community to develop better students. And it's just fabulous on how government and the church could work together. And we were blessed to be able to be there. Let me share with you one of the stories that continues to go on. Hope is a young girl from Minnesota that was at the Assemblies of God campground. God began to put it on her heart to see God do a work in her school. And so she determined to be on mission on her school. So she was looking for opportunities to share the gospel individually. And then she got the dream of wanting to have, like Reggie, come to her school. And so she reached out to our missionary in Minnesota. His name's Richard Baker, and you'll see Richard here in a moment. Richard had set it out, much like Dan has here, to be in every school, every high school, middle school, and junior high in Minnesota. He's made it his goal. Right now, they're between 60 to 70% of the schools in Minnesota they've been at and been back, but they're trying to get to every single one. And it's amazing how they're closing in on that goal. And what was so neat was Hope had a dream, but she knew money was going to take it. And she's from a small community, small church. But this young girl began to reach out and working with her pastor, but she was the spark plug. Reaching out to other pastors, getting them together. She went to businessmen, family members. She began to do fundraisers with the youth group. But this young girl organized it because she wanted not just a speaker. She wanted a band to come in. So she was going to make this thing the most attractive way of an opportunity for as many of her classmates to come to Christ. And so she did it. And so when that day came and she paid it, it was like close to $4,000 she raised just to be able to do giveaways and free food. It's amazing the faith of this young girl. And that night, 400 students of her classmates came back to the evening event, of which 25%, 100 students came to Christ that night. But it's the faith of a student. And that's what I love about Youth Alive is it really involves the faith of a church, students, on what we can do to see students come to Christ. And one of the neat parts about Youth Alive is we're part of the youth department, and we have two great missional aspects that come out of the youth department that transcend our AG churches. One of them is Speed the Light, and I found out after service, congratulations last year, Over $6,000 for Speed the Light. Come on. That is awesome. That is so phenomenal. And I'll just tell you as a missionary that if it was not for Speed the Light, I don't know how we could even remotely begin to do what we do in Youth Alive. In the last 18 months, we've spoken to nearly 250,000 students in schools across the U.S. Of that 250,000, we've got to see over 25,000 students come back to our evening event. And of that, over 8,500 students made decisions for Christ. And that is directly, in a huge way, fueled by a Speed the Light vehicle getting us there. In some aspects, it's our sound equipment or video equipment. We could not do it without you. And what's so fun is there's moments on our school tour, Speed the Light and Youth Alive are working hand in hand at that very moment. And I want to show you a video. It gives you a little bit of an idea of how Youth Alive and Speed the Light teamed up together. And so this is a way of giving you an update on how Speed the Light is helping Youth Alive reach every student in every school.
Youth Alive is about reaching students on every campus and every community. And this helps me reach all across the state of Minnesota. So 4 years ago, I had the opportunity of having Youth Alive in Worthington and the surrounding areas with the 7 Project to do school assemblies and to have an evening outreach, and it was an amazing opportunity to see how we move upon the hearts.
And I'll just come back to it if you need it. I'll move on, because as soon as they get it, we'll go to it. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning, because one of the fun parts that'll help you capture the aspect of what Hope did to do to see that school assembly come to her community, and to be able to see God do a work, it takes courage. And so I want to take some of our remaining moments this morning, talk to you about courage, and we'll come back to that video if it'll work. But turn with me to Psalms chapter 40, and I'm going to make sure I get to Psalms, because first service, I actually started out, I was in Psalms, and then I flipped back in my Bible too far, and I went to Job, and I'm like, that's not right. So I will do my best to actually stay in Psalms and not flip so back, because I'm sitting there going, this isn't right. Psalms 40, it's hilarious.
Me reach students all across the state of Minnesota.
Because courage is a prerequisite, not only because of moments where there's feel-good moments when God begins to stir your heart in a service such as this, or maybe in a private time, he stirs your heart to action. That's easy part to take courage, because you're motivated, you have an encouragement. What about when adversity comes, when you have the tough moments? Psalms 40 kind of lays what some of those feelings could be like. Looking at verses 15 through 17, Psalms 40. May those who say to me, aha, be appalled on the account of their shame. May all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And may those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord is magnified. And here's where the psalmist goes in personal. He goes, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks about me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. Do you ever have moments where you just, Lord, people are looking at me trying to catch the faults, and yet, Lord, I'm in need. I need you. I'm poor. I need your help. I need you to come in and save me. And this is where that psalmist is at, and it's even underscored if you go a few verses earlier, verses 11 through 12. Do not withhold your compassion from me, oh God. May your loving kindness and your truth always guard me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs on my head. That is so nasty for the psalmist to make that so personal for me. Do you ever feel like some points you have so much that you could look at yourself going, so much wrong? It's like hairs on your head. We all have those moments, don't we?
Where Youth Alive is about reaching so students.
And yet, even in those moments, if we take the faith of courage, what God will do. And we see it in another part. Flip over to Joshua. Go closer to the front of the book. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. And this is where the
every
Lord
speaks
directly
community.
Right to Joshua. Because at this point, Moses had just passed on. God is basically setting up Joshua to fulfill Moses' call to take Israel into the promised land. And it's in verse 6, the Lord speaking right to him. In fact, I'll even go verse 5, where it says, "No man will be able to stand against you all of the days of your life."
And this helps me reach students.
A great promise. And he goes on, he said, the Lord speaking to Joshua says, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you." Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall provide the land that I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance." Very courageous. See, that's where God even took it up another level. Not just be courageous, be very courageous. "In order to act carefully in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you, don't turn aside to it to the right or to the left, so that they may succeed wherever you go." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, take the remaining moments that we have this morning. And Father, we just ask that you just speak to our hearts and lives today. God, give us courage to believe for you, for the deep things you want to do in and through our life. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It takes courage. There's so many memories of thoughts of, man, leaving our youth pastor at Racine. Man, there's just different levels of steps of faith. Boy, I sit there and think, leaving our youth group of Racine, where we had a phenomenal youth group, every door of all 16 schools were open to us, and then we're leaving. And raising budget, and it's a step of faith. When we left Wisconsin, Northern Michigan, that was tough because you're leaving friendships and relationships and having things like, I hate to say it, Kringle, so close to you. There's some good stuff that Missouri, we found out, fortunately, about 3 weeks after we were there, there was actually a place, someone that used to live in Wisconsin that makes Kringle. Now, we laughed thinking there's no way it's like, and what was funny was they used to work at a store 3 blocks from where we used to live in Racine. And we're like, oh, yeah, this is good. God knows every detail, even in the midst of the crazy steps of faith. And this is the reminder, even that God wanted to even set out, even in the story of Joshua, transitions of life, God still had a plan. And he was letting Joshua know, because Joshua's seeing the change and going, me? Much of the reaction that we all have at points when God challenges to take a step, often points one of the very questions we ask is, we actually look at ourselves and we're like, God, me? I could maybe see you coming to work in someone else's life, but me? Because so often we know ourselves in the mirror really well. It's not the Facebook portrait picture, the image that everyone else seems to know, because we know the inside story often of ourselves. And what's so great is God knows that too, and he's just as in love with us and committed to us, the good of us. He wants to do immeasurably more than what we could ever ask, imagine, or think. That is his plan that he has for us. But it takes courage to really find it. So how do we get courage? There's 3 ways we can find courage today. And one of them is we can find courage in each other. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. I'm keeping you in the Old Testament, so go a little sooner. One book before Joshua, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 37 through 38, says this, "Also the Lord was angry with me, and your account saying," this is the Lord speaking to Moses' account here, "you shall not go in, But Joshua, the son of Nun, stands before you. He shall go in. Encourage him, for he will cause Israel to inherit it. Hey, they got audio, so we're close. That's okay. Don't worry. I wasn't going to dance. I can't do that. So I can't rap. I can't dance. That's why I could never really do school assemblies with Reggie whatsoever. Okay, so are you ready for it? Not quite. Okay, so just give me a high sign and I'll set up the video. One of the fun parts about this passage here, when we find God began to instruct to Moses, we read Joshua chapter 1, God spoke to Moses saying, I'm not going to let you be the one that leads Israel in. And you can even read even in a few chapters ahead, chapter 3. Okay, I'll get to it in a second. One of the neat parts was God kept letting Moses know, you're not going to be the one that does it, but Joshua is, and he's going to have a lot of courage. So Moses, your task is to make sure Joshua approaches this with courageous faith and trust in me. So Moses changed his assignment. He was humble enough to do that. And trust me, it takes a lot of humility. And it brings it back to our life here today as a church. If you really want to bring power to the vibrancy of what a church really is all about, it's bringing encouragement to others, even when it doesn't benefit you. One of the best things you can do on a Sunday morning is letting somebody know how blessed you are by who they are. Encourage them. Little words of encouragement, you would be amazed. In fact, one of the biggest reasons why I stand here today, I can go back to over 35 years ago. I know I'm old. But my home church in Western Nebraska, I had 15 different men that were praying for me to make a difference in my high school in Western Nebraska. So I had different guys, Kelly Galloway, Dave Hojeda, Rich Hernandez, and I could keep going, Dave Maring, different men that were not youth leaders. They weren't the youth directors at all. Randy Raver, different, Dwayne Kazire, some of them were board members, some of them were Sunday school teachers, life group leaders, sound men in the back. They just knew I was on mission, and their encouragement meant the world to me because we began to see some of my classmates come to Christ. And we got to see that happen because there was people that encouraged me. And all the more, it's a scriptural imperative how much we will find if we really want to be courageous in our faith and what God wants to do in this church, how much more even that God wants to do in each and every one of your life that's bigger than what you could think of right now. God wants to use you to reach your workplace. God wants to use you to reach other families in your neighborhood. He wants to use you to write an amazing story of grace that Kingsford and Iron Mountain has not seen yet. He's in the midst of writing it if you'll have the courageous faith to believe it. How do you get there? It's taking a step of faith to encourage others. And one of those parts, that's why it goes back to Hope's story, that young girl in Minnesota, she had a faith to trust God, and she did her part because you have to work. Same part. It takes an effort, a step of faith to actually do it, and that's to encourage others. And one of the fun parts is when we get to do, like Hope, is go in and do with the whole team. So this video that you're about to see, we're ready for it, right? This allows you to be able to see how Speed the Light and Youth Alive team up together. So go ahead.
Youth Alive is about reaching students on every campus and every community, and this helps me reach students all across the state of Minnesota. So 4 years ago, I had the opportunity of having Youth Alive in Worthington and the surrounding areas with the 7 Project to do school assemblies and to have an evening outreach, and it was an amazing opportunity to see God move upon the hearts and lives of students and people in the community. It was just a home run.
Well, when I heard the message, it really hit me, so I decided to take that seriously. So I started going to church more. I started going through them, and I know that I will. But being the first one in my family to go to church and everything, to even experience Christ, that's a big pivoting point, because now I have to be the rock to help them get into Christ and everything, and along with all my friends and everything too.
4 years ago, we came to Worthington, Minnesota to do a 7 project outreach. Sebastian came to the outreach that night and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Now, 4 years later, we're back again, and he was there to pray with students this time instead of being prayed for and leading them to Jesus Christ.
It's just an awesome feeling to witness someone experience Christ for the first time.
It's been an awesome way of seeing God move and seeing hundreds of people come to know him and thousands of people giving a message of hope, and do it again as soon as I can.
That's what Youth Revive is all about. Students come to Christ, students follow Christ, students are discipled in their faith, and students begin to reach out to other students. We want to reach every student on every campus and every community. That's what Speak the Light helps us do. Thank you, students all across the nation, for helping us do that.
So thank you, Maranatha Assembly, for all that you do to empower students to capture a missional heart through Speed the Light, that it's the generosity of people that can make missions go. And so Speed the Light empowers us to be able to share the gospel. And it's one of those aspects, encouragement of others, encouraging others, is such an critical aspect. In fact, for me as a leader, I've had to rethink of how I lead. It's not what it's not so much what I want to do, but as much as how I can come along other people and help encourage and bless them. Finally, that's a huge part. In 2 weeks from now, you're familiar with this person. His name's Bob Lenz. Bob reached out to me a week ago, and he's had just some amazing opportunities with anti-bullying, with some things he's doing. And so I'm flying out that I don't know if it'll directly ever connect with Youth Alive, but I do know Bob well, that it's like maybe there's a way I could help Bob be more successful. It's an encouragement factor. What can we do to encourage others? It's huge. When we begin to think in those terms, it's basically the gospel, thinking of others. When we begin to do that and we take courage, what God will do. How do we find courage? Not only from others. Turn with me to Psalms 27. We find in Psalm 27 gives us a great ability to understand that. In Psalm 27, we see that we can find encouragement from God. Right off in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" See, here's the big question, the big thing that should be settled. The big aspect, when we begin to take steps of faith and trust God, when it takes courage, even whether it's adversity or moments where it's just awesome, you just know God's speaking to you and you just need that courage to take a step of faith, often points to what is the biggest thing that holds us back? It's fear. Fear and faith are always going to be part of the equation that you have to deal with. Which one wins out is which one you feed. So I'll tell you this today, if you feed your fears, you will reap nothing but fear, and you'll never have the courage to take the step of faith that God wants to do to change your life. But when you feed your faith and you begin to take those steps of faith, it is amazing what God can do and will do in and through your life. Whom shall I fear if the Lord is your salvation? The biggest aspect of fear is settled. Because you have a God that goes on, that verse goes on, "The Lord is the strength of my life, in whom shall I be afraid?" If all your trust is in nothing else but him, he will never let you down. He will never, ever let you fall. That's the amazing strength of our God. Go on into verse 14 of that same chapter, and it just wait on the Lord. Be strong. May your heart be stout. Wait on the Lord. So my challenge to you today is, even in the midst, as you're trusting God, you're taking courage, and there seems to be a delay, As you've taken the step of faith and you're going, okay, God, I'm doing it. Where are you? How do I make it through?